Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Tries to cram the new rules to make the game faster, cram it down the throats of fans and the players alike. He handled the Astro Gate, if you will, in a very tone-deaf fashion. And I don't understand how they think they're going to benefit from this showdown and from negotiating in public. I think Manfred has been a terrible commissioner for Major League Baseball, but I know you asked this question earlier, Matt, before you weigh in once again. You asked on the text line, 888-957-9570, do people even care whether baseball comes back? Give us a number. Zero, you don't care at all. 10, I can't wait for baseball. I couldn't live without baseball. I think I'm at least an 8, and so I'm very hopeful. But I'm not sure how much people care about whether baseball's back. Certainly, they don't care like they used to, right, Matt?
Well, there's no question about that.
Yeah.
And certainly, there's a population of folks like you, Whitey, and frankly, like me, who really want baseball back, who wish it would come back. I don't say I'm doubting its return with any joy. I want to see baseball. It's just hard to believe it at this moment, with two sides dug in about money who don't seem to care about the sport at all. It's disappointing. But that's just sort of where my head is at watching what's unfolding. I don't think there's any question less people care. And I do wonder, there's definitely like a sweet spot of, on one hand, people who are entering June without baseball and feeling its absence. You know, Damon likes to say baseball's your everyday friend, right? And undoubtedly, there are people missing that everyday friend who, at you know, today on June 5th, would be thrilled if baseball announced it was coming back in July, right?
Right.
But at what point does that absence makes the heart grow fonder become out of sight, out of mind? Right? And at what point does that joy you'd feel turn to, you know what, if you guys don't care, why do I care? And that's where, if I was involved, those are the things I would be concerned about and bringing up in the room in making the points you just made, Whitey, that negotiating this in public and fighting over money serves no one.
On the text line, let's see, Gene says, baseball, Gene from the 415, bless you for putting your name on it, Gene. Baseball, nah, a 3 out of 10. Well, baseball, it's pretty good, right? You're hitting 300. Thank you, Gene. From the 719, I'm a 2 on baseball coming back. How much damage would this?
No.
How much damage would it cause baseball, Ray, if we don't have baseball this year?
I think they're pretty close to their bedrock audience, and below which people would have to actively reject it. People always say their baseball hurts their feelings and they're never coming back. And yet within 2 years of the last work stoppage, they had more people coming to the ballpark than ever. And they will do whatever they have to do, including gimmick up the game to make that happen. The difference here is that 25 years ago, you still had to put up a representative team, at least, to make a significant profit in the game.
Yeah.
Now, yes, all point. You have to do is not fold.
Right.
The New York Mets, the New York Mets are as badly run an operation as there is in North America, and they make tons every year.
Yeah, and so, they have been poorly run for a long time, right? I mean, it's persistent, and they continue to make money. So is it possible that this time becomes a sort of turning point where the economics take us to a level that sports is not profitable unless you're reasonably well run?
I think it can only happen in places where the economic damage is so severe. And I'm thinking of Detroit here, where, you know, the unemployment numbers are particularly high. You might see where not having people in the ballpark, and even after they reopen the ballpark, that people don't go, that they could actually start producing at least a minor bit of red ink. But the thing that that Major League Baseball has worked on for at least two decades now is to indemnify them from the possibility that they won't make enough money at the gate. So even then, and even for the fact that Forbes reports that the Tigers do occasionally have negative operating income, They're still making money by any standard, certainly on the real estate alone. So I think it would be A, hard to prove that they're losing money, and B, hard to imagine that they are.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if baseball's coming back, but it is coming back on the text line, 888-957-9570, 0 to 10. How much do you want baseball back? 3 out of 10, aside from what's going on right now, I'm tired of getting screwed over by the A's management team. From the 650, we got a 5. Alina says, 8 out of 10. I miss it so much. MLB and Little League. Scott in Oakland says, I'm a 10. All the people saying 2 and 3 must be Giants fans. Let's go, Oakland. Yeah.
Yeah.
Shots
but
fired. Ray, you hit the
That's
nail.
How much yeah, Scott Ray... misses baseball season, by the way. He's so desperate to insult Giants fans.
Yes. Ray knocked it out of the park. That's the biggest problem for fans. Prices go up, the product. The teams don't even care anymore because they don't have to whether the team's any good. It used to be, my goodness, we got to put a halfway decent team on the field or no one's going to come to the park. And now, if they come to the park, great, but we're making so much money otherwise. We keep the payroll down. We make more money. I don't know how baseball ever comes out of that, Ray.
I think there's a difference here. Don't say the team doesn't care, because that means that a lot of people who work for the team don't care, and I don't believe.
Oh, I didn't mean that. You're right, but I didn't.
No,
mean
I'm
that.
Talking
You're
about the
right.
texter. I'm talking about the texter, and I'm talking about people who use that language all the time. Teams don't care. It isn't true. What is true is that there is no incentive. There is no profit incentive in winning for the people who have to spend the money to create the kind of atmosphere where winning can happen. And that's the owners. When you make, you know, double digit millions year after year producing awful, you know, awful baseball, then you're disinclined to spend money. The Miami Marlins reported a loss last year. Nobody believes that that's true. It's the problem, the only problem that owners have, and it's usually done with, you know, people who buy sort of with other people's money, is that they have occasional liquidity problems, and they might even have loan problems. But in terms of money going out versus money coming in, they always have more money coming in, and whatever things they cannot make money on the outside is their business acumen, not the game itself.
Mm-hmm. Let's see here, Matt. We have on the text line, I'm a Mariners fan. I'm a 10 out of 10 for missing baseball.
Yeah, a handful of 10s coming in.
Yeah, I want baseball back. I give it a 10. Cody from Brentwood, why can't baseball just come back and pay the players their regular salary?
Yeah, well, because the owners are greedy and they don't want to do that.
Yeah, they don't ever want to report that they're losing money, even though that would help them on the taxes that they wouldn't pay anyway.
We appreciate your feedback.
Yeah, I mean, all these people, and I think this maybe is the text that, I don't know if I'm a 10, but from the 510, 10 out of 10 wanting it to return, but a 1 out of 10 on confidence on them coming back. And that's, you know, I'm maybe an 8 and a 2, but, a 7 and a 3, somewhere in that range of, like, I'd love for baseball to return. I love baseball. But it's hard. Mm-hmm. It's hard for me to have confidence right now.
Coming up as we all start to get back on the road again, now is the perfect time to think about taking a California motorcyclist safety course. The course allows you to skip the riding skills test at the DMV and is required for riders under 21. Become a better rider. Learn more at californiamotorcyclist.com. Coming up, a look back at the Warrior season that was. The question is, what was it? Whitey in for Damon, Rado Okolski, 95.7 The Game.
Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Whitey in for Damon. Thank you for listening. Happy Friday, as one of the longest weeks in our nation's history comes to a close. I'd like to think we're in a better spot, at least slightly, than we were Monday. We'll see what the weekend brings. Thank you to Damon for having me in. Thank you. You guys are always so kind to me, and it's because you met Kolsky, Ray Ratto, of course, Nash, and the other guy, Lucas is his name. Yeah, you got the kid. You guys are always so nice to me, and that's why I want to give you a chance here to get in on the ground floor of a great investment opportunity.
I'm excited. What is it?
Yeah. Ray, are you in?
Good investment.
Have you been to a birthday party recently? Probably not. I mean, probably not.
Sure, I have.
Everyone's sheltering in place. Yeah. Okay.
Couple months I haven't, but semi-recently.
Well, nowadays, I was just at one couple weekends ago, and, you know, when it comes to, hey, blow out the candles, that's a problem these days. So my wife was saying, you know, she said, I guess we're done with that, huh, at least for those foreseeable. And I said, not so fast. And that's when I created, right then, boom, on the spot, Candle Dome. Candle Dome is a plastic covering for your cake. It comes in various sizes, depending on, you know, your cake. And then on top, it's got candle holders. So you put the Candle Dome on your cake, and then right on top, you can put as many, just easily stick them right in there in the candle holders, as many as you want. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Ray Ratto. Blow out the candles. You blow it. Hey, that's great. Then I can remove the Candle Dome, and we can all eat cake without having to worry about being infected by whatever it is that's living in Ray's mustache. I think it's a home run.
You know what, Whitey? I think that's a great idea.
I have an issue with it.
Yeah.
I'm in for $5.
What about if there's coronavirus from you blowing on the candle and it reaches from the top of the candle to the bottom of the candle and now the candle's touching the cake?
No, the candle's not touching
the
cake. No. That's the whole
point of the dome, Nash. Pay attention, Nash.
But the bottom of the candle has to be touching some sort of frosting for the magical and the magic to be working through blowing out the candle. They can't be completely separate entities.
I see. Nash is concerned that the magic wish that you make while blowing out the candles won't...
That's an outstanding point.
...won't work if the candles are not touching the cake. I don't know... I'm not sure what the rules are on that. I'm going to have to defer to Nash's greater expertise.
Yeah, I have to admit I had not considered that. But we'll work on that. We'll figure something out. Ray is noticeably silent, so I assume that means, Ray, you're not interested at this time, huh? Okay.
I'm at the stage where celebrating the anniversary of my emergence is not really that pleasurable.
I thought you were maybe at the stage where you don't like sharing cake.
Okay, we'll go there then. Yeah, screw you guys.
All right.
That's a weight joke.
I think we're on to something.
And it was not a weight joke. It was joke about blowing on a cake to claim it as yours. Didn't we talk about this on the air last time Whitey was on, about how people spit on food to claim it as their own?
No, that apparently is only a Midwestern thing among potential billionaires.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess
anyway.
Or crazy.
Let me know.
Crazy siblings.
Me and Michael Jordan.
I mentioned this last night. I was on the butcher shop, and I mentioned it, and a couple people texted right away. I was like, hey, is that real? Can I get one of those? So, we'll have you can get a set
Etsy.
Probably of five different sizes. And
start an Etsy shop, Whitey.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what. Order now, and you get a separate set of candle domes free. Just pay a separate postage and handling.
But wait, there's more.
There you go. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay.
All right.
Meanwhile,
what's my percentage on this?
Well, nothing until you give me the $10 you owe me for daring to ask John Starks about the testicular torsion
that
he sustained.
I told you, you just have to give me your Venmo or what have you. I can't come over, Whitey. It's
Whitey's
illegal.
Having trouble to Zoom. I don't think he has Venmo.
Yeah.
I don't even know
that
how
was
the can
a shot.
Opener worked.
Yeah. See, now that was an age shot. Joke. That's what just happened there.
It was just factual
no,
what
a,
that was.
That was a Luddite joke.
Yeah.
Now I'm ageist. That was my fault. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, I know. I didn't want to go there, but yeah. Obviously, not a lot for the Warriors to celebrate, Candle Dome or not. I don't think they're going to, although maybe they're going to celebrate. Woo! Thank goodness that is over. Kawakami
nailed
it yesterday.
Was Candle Dome just an excuse to avoid getting into the miserable, miserable Warriors season for a little longer?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was at least, yeah, I think subconsciously. Tim Kawakami yesterday on Twitter said, "Wow, the Warrior season ended in June again." That was very well played. Yeah, if they end up with, say, the fifth pick or worse, and as you guys said this week, and Lucas is right, they have, I think it's better than a 48% chance of getting the fifth pick. If they lost all those games, they win 15 games, 15 and 50. They lose all those games, and they end up with the fifth pick, or they trade down, or they get the first pick, and it's somebody that nobody really is excited about. What have they actually accomplished in this, quote-unquote, gap year?
The only thing that happened was that the building didn't burn down. That's what they have to be excited about. Everything else about it, and I know Matt will argue, everything else that happened was an absolute unmitigated dumpster fire. And coming out of this, expectations may be lower, but I think the vast majority of Warrior fans think that this was just a blip. And they might be right, but I think there is an equal, if not greater, chance that they could very well be wrong, that this was the sort of the result, this was the pie they took in the face that they didn't see coming, and that there are more to come after that. Only because, and I'll finish my point here. When you go 15 and 50, which, by the way, was the 60th worst performance in the history of the National Basketball Association. When you go that bad and nobody gets fired, that's not a good thing. Somebody needs to be fired for that. And I'm thinking either Ray Ritter or you.
Me or Kolsky?
Now I don't know if
Kolsky,
you're joking
for sure,
or not.
Because Kolsky comes as close to being a true believer as someone who says he's not a fan of the team could be.
I see.
But no, Ray, for someone who is so intent on seeing nuance in all things and so... You make so many arguments about the little things mattering and about things being interconnected. To ignore any value of this season and to say what you just said, I just want to be clear. Because the words you just said are, you think there is an equal or greater chance that this season is a better indicator of the future than the seasons before.
No, I didn't say that. And the only reason I said what I said before was because you made an age joke about me. And you'll be punished for that.
I don't have a problem with you joking about me getting fired. I just want to be clear on what you're saying, because I believe that's what you said, was equal or greater chance. Am I crazy?
And it wasn't an age joke. It was a weight joke.
Well, he says it was a weight joke. I think it was an age joke. And if it was both,
you said it was a weight joke.
My joke to Whitey was an age joke.
Yeah. I think there are as many unknowables going into next year as knowables. Because we don't know, what having lost a full year will do to two players in their 30s. We don't know what playing on a lost cause does to Draymond Green's ability to, sort of turn his career back into a growth stock. We don't know, ultimately, way more things about this team than we know. That's what I actually mean. It's that I don't think anything should be considered a given going into next year, because this year was such an abject waste on so many levels.
Okay.
If people from the outside are still not sold on Andrew Wiggins, I think that needs at least to be heeded more than it is, because I don't know what to make of him yet. And I'm not sure that anybody does, because he's played almost no games with any of the players who actually matter.
And almost no games of consequence in his entire career. Everything you just said is true. And you just made a complete list of the question marks heading into next season, and they are substantial. I don't know that there's anyone debating that. I think that's very different from saying this year has no value and that there's a chance that this year is an indicator of the future. Because, or that someone should be fired, which I assume was just a joke about me and Whitey. Because
oh no, it was not about Whitey. Let's not.
Okay, well, a joke
oh,
about
you.
Me.
Whitey's on scholarship.
Let's be clear.
Uh-huh.
It was a joke
was
about
funny.
Me.
It was
because
funny.
I'm
and
sure
it
you don't
a joke
think
about Damon, but he skived off today.
That's fair, but I'm sure you don't think that someone from the organization should actually be fired for a terrible year that was large part the consequence of two brutal injuries to your two best players.
Well, two brutal injuries and a miscalculation in D'Angelo Russell. I mean, this was not. I mean,
was it a miscalculation?
I think it was. I think
so. You think they would have rather, but in retrospect, you think they would have rather lost Kevin Durant for nothing?
No, I think they thought they were going to get something out of D'Angelo Russell that they didn't get. And they didn't.
By the way,
close to getting because. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Ray. Pardon me. Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm sorry. Three things I wanted to mention real quickly. George Sedano's coming up bottom of the hour. Also, I'm really hoping the Warriors end up with Tyrese Halliburton. I think he'd be a great fit
really?
For them. And I'm sorry I got a little distracted there during your conversation because on the text line here, and as you know now, the text line number the same as the phone number, 888-957-9570 from the 650. Put me down for 5 sets of the Candle Dome, please.
Look, I don't think you're going to have a hard time selling those at all. I don't know how many people are going to have Nash's magical concerns.
Also, why do you need 5?
Yeah,
are you planning
a
party with 5 cakes?
A lot of parties, a lot of cakes.
Pretty sure they're machine washable.
Look, maybe that person is a caterer. You don't know. They could be baking
right.
cakes. Maybe they're a cake baker.
Just ask them questions.
I one thing I didn't get to say quickly that's out of the, you know, will they, won't they compete next year debate, because all those question marks are legit. I think we can pretty clearly point at some things and say, okay, this is a gain from this year. One of those is, as Ray pointed out, D'Angelo Russell didn't work out, and you moved him for someone who seems to fit better. And is that guy's ultimate contribution a question mark? Yes. But I don't think there's any question that with this team healthy, he's a better fit than another ball-dominant point guard. So that's a bonus.
I agree. I agree completely. Yeah,
Marquise 100%. Chris is a bonus. Eric Paschal is a bonus. There's a list that we could make of things they did gain from this year, although overall it's clearly a lost year.
I would split the difference on you guys when it comes to Wiggins, and I completely agree that he's a much better fit than D'Angelo Russell. At the same time, I think Ray, and I remember I was in with you guys, it was my privilege to be in with you the day they made that trade, and I think you and I, Matt, were very high on Wiggins, and Ray was, you know, you got to look at what people say, and the more I've watched him play, he's not bad. I just don't know that he's ever going to be anything close to what people expected him to be, and I think he's still kind of a big question mark. He's shown signs of, you know, his first moments as a Warrior. He got in there and he stuck his nose in and he was defending LeBron in a way that D'Angelo Russell had never done in his whole life. And he's had his moments, but also he's an inconsistent shooter. At times he disappears. And I'm not saying he's horrible, but I think there are some real questions about him going forward. And I think, Ray, you made the point the Warriors almost didn't make that deal because they weren't sure they wanted was it Wiggins or was it the draft pick?
It was the pick. It was about
the pick. Yeah. They knew that they were going to have to take Wiggins to get Russell's salary off the books.
Right. That was the whole.
But, yeah. You know,
that's
the argument was about 20 versus 21, which is why I think they are going to do their damnedest to get out of their spot in the draft this year. And if they can do it by trading out of it entirely and getting something really good next year, I think that would be preferable to just trading down. Unless they have a specific opinion on a guy And I don't know the guy that they Whitey do, because I don't know that anybody does.
The guy Whitey mentioned is the guy I've been seeing some heat on as it regards to the Warriors, for what it's worth.
Well, let's put some heat on our next guest here, and maybe we'll get some answers. ESPN Radio and NBA personality, NBA sideline reporter, the one and only George Sedano. George, thank you so much for your time here. What, sir, is your level of excitement over the NBA's return plan? How optimistic are you that they might actually be able to pull this off and complete a season?
Guys, obviously, thank you so much for having me on again. I'm very excited, clearly. Look, I love basketball. I cover basketball for a living, so I think that it's a good day for anyone who loves basketball. What I would say to you is this. I feel pretty good about it early on, mostly because, and I think I may have been on with you guys a couple of weeks ago and talked about this when Damon was around too, which was I wanted them, and I didn't understand why this wasn't at least on the table publicly, I wanted them to arrive in Orlando to the campus environment a couple of weeks in advance, finish up their training camps there, get the testing done on guys. That way you could lessen the potential impact on actual games, right? Get guys tested. If they test positive, you can quarantine them, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it looks like that actually is going to happen, as teams are going to report on July 7th. For games beginning on July 31st. So I'm hopeful that that will be the case, that you don't have a lot of guys testing positive. And if you do, you can make sure to mitigate some of those issues, quarantine them if necessary. Hopefully everyone is healthy and okay for the start of the season. So I feel good early on. My biggest question will be once more people start getting introduced, and there's talk about families joining some of these teams as teams get eliminated in the postseason, and my guess is it will probably be for the teams in the conference finals and finals. And I think that that's something that sticks out to me as a moment of, okay, let's see what that looks like.
The thing that has always sort of tweaked my head about not only this restart, but the NHL restart and even baseball's restart is what happens if the virus decides to get angry again, and who's going to be able to pull the trigger, how quickly they'll be able to pull the trigger, and what it would take for them to pull the trigger. Because, you know, once this gets started and owners start counting money again, that it's going to be hard to get the smell of the cash out of their nostrils. Do you have an opinion?
I wonder, have we lost?
I think I broke him.
Not a rush.
I don't think he really believes in the NBA. I think he hung up because that's who he is.
Yeah, I thought, Ray, wow, he's really thinking about this one. What a great question. We'll endeavor to get George Sedano back with us here.
Or such a terrible question, he hung up. One of the two.
Yeah, that could be
well,
too.
I would have liked to have thought he'd have at least the dignity to tell me to F off.
Oh man, he's right. I'm with him though as far as being excited about basketball. I mean, in this date, you know, June 5th, we should be in the NBA finals, right? Anyway, go ahead, Ray. George Sedano is back with us. Are you okay, George?
I'll take that as a no.
Wow,
once
he's having
again,
some fun at our expense.
Are we having phone line issues? We're going
Who
again.
Knows?
Here we come again. No, he's gone.
You try, Matt, because I missed and Ray missed. Yeah, go ahead.
No,
Matt
he's
Kolsky.
Gone.
Okay. Yeah.
Lucas is,
I think you got
Lucas
a better
is texting.
Lucas George is texting. Sedano is. So,
well, he did try to come back. Lucas had him, so we know it wasn't Ray's question that turned him off.
Well, maybe
do we
didn't hear it. Maybe I could
do
still
we?
Turn him off now.
Let us know if we get George Sedano. We appreciate George Sedano's time. We appreciate your time today, of course. Friday, we should, though, be getting ready for the NBA Finals, right? June 5th, 1991, Mike Jordan of the Bulls drove the lane against the Lakers in Game 2 of the 91 Finals. And he moved past Byron Scott, ball in his right hand, took off of the basket intending to dunk. We can assume Sam Perkins. I remember I thought the Lakers were going to win that series because I thought, Bulls have no answer for Sam Perkins. It was a short series, but it was a pretty good series.
Stop
anyway,
it.
That was the incredible
Sam
Michael
Perkins.
Jordan switch hand in midair, flip it off the glass play. That was on this date, Matt Kolsky.
Yeah, and if you look at it, a very silly move that had no real purpose other than to, you know, be the artful, dominant player that he was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like he switched hands more for fun than for necessity.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you've heard the story. Ray, you remember this story. One night the Celtics were finishing up a road trip in Portland, and it was a long trip, and Larry Bird tells everybody, I'm going to play left-handed tonight. And I think he scored 37, shooting almost entirely left-handed because, I think I can. I want to see how I can do it. I mean, it's just amazing.
Yeah, I think that's different than adding an extra midair crossover on a layup because I think that's one of the ways in which great players keep interested in a grind of a season like this. And there are only a few people who can do that. And Bird was one of them. But now I understand Jorge Sedano. Is he back now? No?
George Sedano, are you back with us, sir?
I was going to answer your question. I'm sorry. I don't know what happened there. It might be my headsets are not working, so I'm on the handset now. I think you were asking me, and correct me if I'm wrong, about if there's a rash of positive tests. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because I'm not convinced that Adam Silver would be able to pull the plug by himself, that he'd have to go into a series of meetings with owners. Because, you know, once you get the smell of money back in your nostrils, if you're a billionaire, it's hard to shake that out. And what I'm wondering is, A, who would decide when it gets bad enough to stop? And B, what would the trigger or triggers be? Has there been any indication that anybody knows or could even speculate on that?
This is just an educated guess on my part. The whole process has been collaborative between Adam Silver, the Board of Governors, the Players Association, and Michelle Roberts. So my guess is if that doomsday scenario presents itself, it would be that group of people deciding it. Then what the threshold is to get to that point, I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. My guess is it would take, you know, maybe some rampant positive tests where teams wouldn't even have enough players to field a team, right? Like I don't know what that threshold is, what the barometer is there. I'm going to be honest with you.
I think we pretty much all agree that the best consequence for the broadcast for all of us would be to hear every word the players are saying because they're in a small empty gym and get all the trash talk and hear the strategy discussions and all of that. I think most of us understand the leagues are not going to allow us to see those things. So we saw, I believe it was Woj tweet that they were considering using 2K sounds to build in fake crowd noise. What is your preferred? It was Shams. Sorry. What is your preferred method of broadcast sound?
I would prefer the former to the latter. Certainly, I understand that it's less even about players. I actually think the coaches are the ones that get hurt by the sounds of the game. I know that we air the sounds of the game, but I'll tell you this, that stuff is, you know, sanitized to some extent. And I understand they don't want to give away strategy and things of that nature. So I think that players may have a little bit of an issue with it, but I do think that it would be in the best interest of the sport. I know baseball's got its own issues, right, trying to get sorted out. But there has been a lot of positive reception to miking guys up maybe more than they had in the past. And I think it would serve the NBA and it would be in their best interest to do more of that. I'm curious to see if that subject has even been broached at this point.
George Sedano, nice enough to join us. George, I apologize if this isn't a fair question, but once the NBA, assuming they do return, do you have any idea what sort of protests or displays we may see from the players in response to George Floyd and everything that the nation is dealing with right now?
You know, I don't have an answer for that, but look, this is a very progressive league. It's a league predominantly, played by African-American men. And I would imagine that there would be some sort of demonstration or some form of unity shown, whether it's individually within games, maybe perhaps
as a message that they will send before every game? I don't know. I don't know the answer to it. I mean, it's not an unfair question. It's actually a great question. I just don't have the answer to that specifically. But I would be surprised if the guys in this league didn't use their platform as they have previously. Like, that to me makes sense. You should use your platform if you've got it. And certainly the league stands behind them, as they should.
Given that, could you see a scenario in which either the national anthem wasn't played, or in a more likely scenario in which it was played, but players would not be required to stand at attention as they have heretofore, because tensions about all those patriotic demonstrations are clearly so high right now?
Ray, to my knowledge, I believe that there is a rule in place for that. And I think that's why the demonstrations for the NBA over the last several years have been different than what we've seen in the NFL. Now, perhaps that can be discussed. I mean, listen, they're at the point where they're discussing a lot of different things. And perhaps that's something that they can discuss while at the table finishing up the formatics and things of this particular resumption, and even discussing the future of the NBA. Those are things that perhaps the Players Association and the league can address. But I think that it's possible, but under the rules at the moment, it has not been the case because of that.
Just as far as the resumption of play in the NBA goes, would you anticipate going? And if invited, would you want to go?
So I have not heard any word as to what we're going to be doing. My understanding is that there are conversations about the networks, the broadcast networks, ourselves at ESPN and Turner, as far as trying to be there. And I don't know how many teams. We have several broadcast teams. At ESPN, we have four on TV, and Turner has several as well. And I would guess that there will be some teams on site, but there is a possibility it may be done remotely. I don't know. I'm sorry, because I feel like I normally come on this show with you guys, and I have a lot of answers, or at least a lot of opinions, and that's not the case today. There's a lot of I don't know. But, yeah, to my knowledge, that's being discussed. And, yes, to answer your question, I've said this already to my bosses. I've had this conversation with my wife. And if they asked me to go, I would go, because my normal duties are the regular season on sidelines and the first two rounds of the playoffs. And then the conference finals and finals go to our A team of Mike Breen, Jeff Van Gundy, Mark Jackson and Lisa Salters, and Doris Burke as well, who will be doing the finals, at least on sidelines this year again. So, yeah, I would. If they ask, I'm there. You know, it's about a 6 or 7 week commitment, but I'm more than happy to do it. It's the job I signed up for. And to be honest, it's kind of a cool thing to be a part of, I think, just from a professional standpoint. I mean, it's completely unprecedented, but I do think it would be just fascinating to be a part of, even though I'm sure there will be moments where I'll be like, man, I miss my kids and I miss my wife and I miss just my normal everyday life, or whatever the new normal everyday life will be during a pandemic.
George Sedano, nice enough to join us. Go ahead, Ray. I'm sorry. Yeah. Well, I was going to ask you.
You might miss being within 10 feet of the guy you're interviewing between the first and second quarter.
There's that too. I am curious to see how that would work. Right. Now I've seen reporters on local TV stations using basically a pole, right? Like, just to interview them. I don't know. I mean, maybe we'll get creative. Maybe we'll use headsets and stay at a distance. I don't know. That would be fascinating to see. But my guess is that, you know, we'll have some sort of broadcast there, and I just hope to be a part of it. I hope that my other sideline reporter friends will be there as well.
By the way, on the text line here, Sedano could easily dunk on Whitey and Kolsky with authority. I don't know, George, do you have that kind of game? Yeah, I mean, I don't doubt it.
I'm 42 years old. At 32 years old, maybe. But not at 42 years old anymore. I haven't even had a competitive basketball game in about, when did I move to L.A.? 4 years ago. So at least 3 years, because I was still going to L.A. Fitness until I was about 40, so maybe like 2 years ago. I was going to LA Fitness. I was playing with these 20 and 21, 22-year-old kids. And then I started getting home, and I'd be like, oh, my back is killing, my ankles, my knees. And my wife would just look at me all the time and be like, why are you such an idiot? Like, what are you trying to prove playing against these young kids? So I go out there, and when I was going out there, when we could all go to gyms, and I would just shoot around, but whenever they'd ask, hey, old-timer, you want to play with us? Like, nah, you guys have it. I'll walk away and just take my ball and go home.
See, that texter, at 38, I'm still in the old-timer lane. I can still play poorly with the kids. I feel like I'm in good shape here. I can handle this.
Very nice.
Good for you. I retired just around 40. I'm like,
yeah, so you're telling me I got 2 years left.
Yeah.
Did you have one more, Ray?
Yeah, so now that you're not playing basketball anymore, how does your wife define you as an idiot now?
Oh, there's plenty of ways, right? I mean, come on. Last night, as a matter of fact, now look, I don't know about you guys, but I've been just consuming news for the last, 9 days specifically. I mean, look, for the better part of 3 months, right? But specifically the last 9 or 10 days as the protests have been going on and just, saddened in a lot of ways, right? For a number of different reasons. And, last night I just said to myself, I'm just not in the right headspace. Like, mentally, I probably should not watch this for a 9th or 10th straight day in a row, because it's just going to start affecting me and then eventually the way I do my job, right? Which I have to do a radio show every day in L.A. And I said, you know what? No news tonight. And I grabbed the remote and I turned on our Amazon Fire Stick and I put on YouTube. And I said, I'm just going to find really old games. I know that it's already in vogue and there's a lot of old games on different sports channels, but I'm going to find the games I want to watch. So I went back, and I grew up a Dolphins fan, and I went back and watched, still to this day, the highest rated Monday Night Football game in Monday Night Football history. Dolphins at Bears, 1985, 13-0. Bears going for an undefeated season, went into Miami, and Dan Marino tore them up. So the 8-year-old kid in me got to relive that moment, and I was able to actually sleep for the first time in over a week, just because life has not been easy to watch as it unfolds on television and what people are enduring in general in the African-American community. And, I stand with them in solidarity, and, I hope that people understand that it's a time for unity and compassion and understanding and respect. And ultimately, I just said I just need a couple of hours to go to bed and have a good night's sleep, and that's what I chose to watch. And then I found myself watching, old baseball games, and I went on a YouTube rabbit hole. Pretty much, I basically became a millennial. Like, I went down a YouTube rabbit hole. That's what I ended up doing and then my wife called me an idiot. She's like, "Why are we watching these old games? Like, haven't you had enough of old games already?"
I want to switch gears here before we let you go.
Sure.
Roger Goodell just said, and I'm going to just quote here, "We, the National Football League, admit we were wrong for not listening to NFL players earlier and encourage all to speak out and peacefully protest." And then he said, "We, the National Football League, believe Black Lives Matter." Wow. What do you think of that sea change, and do you think anybody's going to buy it?
Well, look, I think it's big for them. Because, let's face it, we all know about the criticism bestowed upon them. None better than you guys, right there, right? So I do think that's a good first step, right? I do think a lot of these statements that have been put out by teams and even organizations have been toothless in some cases. But that's at least a good step in the right direction. It's kind of like the way I look at the Michael Jordan situation today, where Jordan Brand put out that statement that they're going to donate $100 million over 10 years. And my reaction was, well, twofold. One was, I guess Democrats buy shoes too now. And also that better late than never, right, is the way I would say. And now I think that Roger still needs to answer some questions, like, why isn't Colin Kaepernick on a roster? I mean, he's definitely still, even right now, I would imagine, one of the top 90 quarterbacks in the league, or whatever it is, 96 quarterbacks in the league. So I think that should be the next step, to get him an actual tryout, not that, mockery that they tried to pull last year, where they had him sign that, or wanted him to sign that release that no one's ever had to sign. So let's see how serious he is. Words are important. I'm not disputing that. They matter. But actions are certainly more important and speak louder. So I'd like to see what the actions will be after the statement.
George Sedano, Thank you so much, George. Sorry that you had to go to extra trouble to stay with us, but we appreciate it. Have a great weekend, and we're excited about basketball, too. We hope to talk to you again very soon.
You got it, guys. Take care. Stay safe. Stay healthy. And, again, apologies about the phone earlier, and we'll talk.
Not a problem. Not a problem. Thank you. George Sedano. By the way, Ray, that is incredible. Just to set you up again for this from Roger Goodell, if you saw the video from the NFL players at the end, this was a number of star players. They all said in this video, on behalf of the National Football League, this is what we, the players, would like to hear you state. We, the National Football League, condemn racism and a systematic oppression of black people. We, the National Football League, admit wrong in silencing our players from peacefully protesting. We, the National Football League, believe Black Lives Matter, end quote. You're saying the commissioner today acknowledged all that?
The commissioner shot a video saying it. And I think, listen, George is right. It's better late than never. But, this is not the... You don't have to do any sleuthing to figure out the level of sincerity here. It took a handful of star players literally demanding they do this, and they did exactly what they were asked and not an inch more. And I just, until we see more, I don't know how you see, how you can buy that there's any sincere sentiments here.
Well, the first way is one for him to answer questions in an actual press conference forum for the owners of the 31 teams. And obviously Green Bay doesn't have somebody who can answer those questions.
Well, they got a president.
Answer the same question. Well, they have a president, but, you know, technically, when I said owners, I meant, you know, I was excluding him because he's still an employee of, you know, he can't fire himself. But I want to see them answer questions like, does this mean that players can now take a knee for the anthem or protest in some other way without sanction or punishment? Two, are they willing to push back on what you know will be the Donald Trump reaction? Because they caved to that before. And three, whether they're willing to consider the players and the players' union equal partners, at least on this. Because what they did 4 years ago was not only blackball Colin Kaepernick, but essentially say that players have no right to free speech, either as an employee or off the job. And they have to codify all that. And they have to do it in a place where they can be asked about it, as opposed to just, well, we'll set up a camera in, you know, in your rec room. And then you'll read something that somebody tossed off for you, and then we'll move on like nothing happened.
And do you expect them to do those things, Ray? Do you expect them to do the things that you just said they ought to be doing?
That you said, how in the world could the commissioner's comment mean anything other than, yes, we are going to allow players to protest without any repercussions?
Because it's not even his comment. I'm pretty sure, and someone will have to double check, I'm pretty sure he's saying exactly what the players said in the video. Like, I think he's quoting it verbatim, which one hand is like, okay, I respect you for respecting them and listening to what they demanded you say, but how could you not add to it or try to, like, try to do something to convince us you're more sincere than just seeing a video yesterday and being like, oh, yeah, no, we haven't really said anything worthwhile throughout this process, but here, we'll just repeat exactly what they told us to say.
Okay, I'll tell you what. We will hear what the commissioner had to say today. That is coming up next. Whitey in for Damon. Damon Radokolsky, 95.7 The Game.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.